Members of Congress want to make it easier for agencies to ensure contractors are who they say they are. The problem, experts say, is there's not much to deter companies that claim they're run by service-disabled veterans but are not. Richard Hillman is Managing Director of Forensic Audits and Investigative Services at the Government Accountability Office.
What we're hoping to see is that when entities are determined to be ineligible, that there will be real consequences associated with those actions. In the SBA bid protest world, there have been very limited to no suspensions or debarments associated with the decisions that they have made. And sometimes contractors are continued to be allowed to maintain those contracts through their completion. That does not sound like a system to me that affords real consequences when entities are determined to be ineligible.
Hillman tells a House Oversight and Government Reform Subcommittee agencies need to dedicate more resources to the problem.
If there is a sense that there is an aggressive posture within the program to ferret out the potential fraud, waste, and abuse, you're going to eliminate the interest of a lot of bad actors from entering the program. That's not only going to help to ensure that the honored service-disabled veterans are receiving the benefits that they're entitled to, but it will also help to ensure the overall control structures are operating effectively.
In fiscal 2010, agencies gave out $11 billion for service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses. A big chunk of that came from VA, where the IG's office estimates about 8 in 10 firms in a sample got money they shouldn't have. Hillman says it can happen all over government, especially because agencies rely on whatever contractors tell them.
In the contractor registry, the firm itself designates whether or not it qualifies for certain types of set-aside or sole-source contractors. This is in a difference to other programs that have set-aside programs within SBA's 8A program for disadvantaged businesses, as well as the Hub Zone program for historically underutilized business areas. SBA controls the eligibility of those programs showing up on the contractor registry. That type of control does not exist on a government-wide basis.
VA is the only agency that verifies what contractors say about their ties to service-disabled veterans. Most at the hearing agree that needs to happen all over the government. Thomas Laney is the department's executive director of small and veteran-owned business programs.
To the 7,900 firms that are currently verified, it's a huge benefit. To the contracting officials who are expected to ensure that when they are setting business aside for veteran-owned firms, that those firms are in fact owned and controlled by veterans, it's a huge benefit. You heard the GAO. You heard the IG. I'm pleased to report that the kind of issues that they laid out in their reports, we have dealt with. And I'm very comfortable. They will not find firms that are ineligible for the Veterans First program, not if, but when they come back.
To check on contractors, VA conducts site visits and checks a lot of paperwork. But Hillman says making other agencies do the same is not so easy.
In our earlier report, we made a recommendation that VA, SBA, and the Office of Federal Procurement Policy get together to look at the feasibility of extending the verification program that VA has instituted on a government-wide basis. In accordance with our recommendations, agency officials did collaborate. One of the important factors that they determined was that they did not have sufficient authority to require verification on a government-wide basis and to eliminate firms that weren't verified from consideration for these contracts without further congressional authority.
A House committee is working on a Senate bill that would make that happen, but agencies also have problems punishing contractors that break the rule. VA has put its focus first on prosecution instead of debarment and suspension. The idea is possible jail time will discourage anyone from breaking the rules, but it doesn't sit well with Representative Jason Chaffetz.
There should be concurrent pursuit of not only criminal but also debarment. We should err on the side of making sure that we're giving these contracts to those who truly deserve and should be awarded those. And I find the statistically, their follow-through on this is inadequate at best.
Not everyone who incorrectly competes for a service-disabled veteran-owned small business contract is a bad actor. VA's Thomas Laney says a lot of them just make mistakes.
Nobody goes to the police station and it tells the cop, "Hi, I'm here and I want to show you the documentation that shows you I'm committing a felony." 98% of the people that we identify to be ineligible self-report. To me, that's a very powerful statement. And I think one of the disservices that we have done to the thousands of veteran business owners that are out there operating with integrity is to imply that lack of eligibility for a VA program equates to fraud.
Another problem is all the rules around the program. Rick Weidman speaks for the Vet Force Coalition.
The directions that are on the website and with the application, I printed them all out. It was 40-some-odd pages. It was not clear even to me, and I participated in the process for the last 15 years. So there isn't what we would call in the military a simple, straightforward, by-the-numbers direction. If you put that in, you wouldn't have the high failure rate. If I'm a teacher, and I have taught in my life when I first came back from Vietnam, and 60% of my kids fail, am I a bad teacher or are they bad kids? I would suggest that I'm a lousy teacher.
Laney says VA has been fixing the problem, and it's something other agencies can do to reduce costly mistakes in their contracting shops.
We have spent some time and energy over the last few months publishing what we call a verification assistance brief, identifying those things that have precluded firms from becoming verified, trying to explain them in plain language to help firms that are going through the process or getting ready to go through the process to understand, does my business model fit? And so what we've seen is a reduction in 2011. As I said, we denied 61% of the firms that we evaluated. So far this year, we're at about 48% denials, or 50, more than half now we are verifying.
In Washington, Ruben Gomez, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.